To pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Oh,
this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Messiah by George Friedrich Handel is probably the best-loved choral work of all time. Listen now as the choir sings a few of the highlights from this time-honored classic based on the Word of God. Of the Messiah, and Dr. Will Phillips was no exception. One of his patients had given him a CD of the Messiah, and it got played over his sound system at least once a day, accompanied by Dr. Will's out-of-tune humming. But as Dr. Will walked into the waiting room of his office on this particular Monday morning, he was carrying a very heavy burden and certainly didn't feel like humming anything. Suddenly his heart seemed to stop beating, because seated on one of the sofas in his office was Mary Snyder, 82 years old, and without a doubt, the godliest person Dr. Will had ever known. A smile crept across his face as he watched Mary reenact a scene he had observed many times before. Her open Bible was on her lap, and she was gently squeezing the hand of a troubled young mother who just happened to be sitting beside her. With a captivating sparkle in her eye, Mary had just asked the question, "Do you believe in Christmas?" Since it was the middle of the summer, this question might have seemed a little out of place. But Mary had asked hundreds of people this very same question, and somehow it seemed quite natural coming from her. She found it to be the perfect icebreaker in talking to people about her Lord. Suddenly, the knot in Dr. Will's stomach jerked his thoughts back to the lab report he had received on Friday. He had faced this unpleasant task many times before, but none had grieved him like the encounter that waited him this morning. After taking as long as he could with his first three patients, Dr. Will finally ran out of excuses to procrastinate any longer.
Bev, will you put on the Messiah CD that Mary gave us and go ahead and send her in, please?
I'm sorry, Doctor, but I can't do that right now. Mary and the Brewster woman are praying at the moment. I think our waiting room is about to become a delivery room again. A new birth is taking place.
I might have guessed. That Mary Snyder, she is one remarkable woman. Bev, when it comes to winning others to the Lord, she puts all of us to shame.
I guess about now she's probably telling Mrs. Brewster about that heavenly choir, the one with 10,000 voices that's getting warmed up to welcome a new member into the kingdom.
You got an awfully good memory, Bev.
Well, it's only been a year, Doctor, and it happened in this very room.
Now, let's see. Weren't you checking her pulse?
I was trying to take her pulse. And then she got this cute little grin on her face, and she said, "Do you believe in Christmas?"
Bev, I got to admit, I was a little bit startled when I walked in and found you two down on your knees praying.
A little startled? I'm surprised that you didn't bruise your chin when it hit the floor. And you should have seen the look on your face when Mary jumped up and shouted, "Will, the angels are singing again!"
day, the angels are speaking again.
She's just discovered the real meaning of Christmas. I do believe I hear 10,000 angels singing the Hallelujah chorus. Can't you hear them, Bev, dear?
I believe that's the CD you gave us playing on the sound system.
Land sakes, child, I know what's playing on the sound system. But can't you hear the angels singing along?
Probably not quite as well as you can, Mary.
Mercy, you need to get a more sanctified imagination like me. Now, I need you to run along and tell Mrs. Brewster? Yes. Tell her you're a Christian, too. And here, give her one of these pamphlets.
10,000 Hallelujahs by Merry Christmas. Who is Merry Christmas?
That's my new handle.
Handle?
Yeah, you know, a pen name. Every author worth his salt has to have a pen name, especially when they're just starting out.
Well, Merry Christmas. It sure does seem to fit. It's
got real possibilities, doesn't it?
It sure does. Come on, let's go see Dr. Will.
Mary.
Doctor, let me introduce you to a budding young author. Merry Christmas.
Will, take a gander at my new pamphlet that I had printed across the street at the coffee place last month. I've given away so many that it's time for my second printing.
10,000 Hallelujahs. Mary, we wish we had half your energy.
Oh, now run along, Miss Bev, and give this to Miss Brewster. Tell her she needs to be practicing the Hallelujah chorus.
I'll take care of that right now, Mary.
Mary, I need to talk to you.
Will, you look troubled. Didn't Jesus tell us to not be anxious for anything?
He did, but what I need to tell you is that...
I'm afraid you're spending too much time working and not enough time praying.
Mary, please, I'm trying to tell you that...
Now, you need a day alone with the Lord so you can control your practice instead of it controlling you.
Mary... Just which one of us is the doctor here?
My Will, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Mary. I didn't mean to be unkind, but I've got some bad news that I need to go over with you.
Well, go ahead, Will. I understand.
Mary, I got your lab report back last Friday, and the results, they're just... they are much worse than I had ever imagined. You complain so little about pain, and you seem so happy all the time. I just never expected things to be this far advanced.
Bless your heart, son. You aren't fretting about me, are you? Why, just think. I'm fixing to rush into the arms of my Jesus and to see my dear husband again. And, oh, Will, just think. I'm going to have me a voice. One of those way up in the sky soprano type voices. And for the first 1,000 years, I'm going to sing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Dear William, I'm going home at last. Here you are afraid to give me my flight schedule. Shame on you, son. Now tell me, how long do I have to wait?
About 6 months, I'd say. I'd say about 6 months.
Well, that's not bad news, Will. That's good news. Mighty good news.
Take it easy for a change.
Are you kidding, son? First of all, I think I need to come and see you at least twice a week. Yes, twice a week.
Now, Mary, I'm the doctor, remember? Now, I'd like to see you twice a week. How did you know that?
I didn't, but I figured that's a good amount to be able to come and witness in your waiting room.
Now, Mary, I do need to tell you that you're probably going to experience a great deal of...
Of pain?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh, I have a good bit of pain already.
I thought maybe you did.
But I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure it's nothing compared to the pain my Jesus suffered for me. And it's made me cause him trust him that much more.
Mary, I'm going to be praying for you.
Just remember, the Lord told us that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
God bless you, Mary.
Will, you're such a precious friend. Thank you for making this such a wonderful day. I just can't wait to join that heavenly choir and sing Hallelujah.
Came to the doctor's office for those two checkups, just as expected. But she came about an hour early, so she could be sure to talk to somebody about her favorite topic, Christmas. By the second week, Bev noticed that Mary was appearing every morning, whether she had an appointment or not. Mary would bring her big black purse stuffed with New Testaments, CDs of the Messiah, an apple and a sandwich, and she'd just spend the day. So on through Thanksgiving, Mary spent her days in Dr. Will's waiting room, talking to everyone about Christmas. And scarcely a day went by that someone didn't discover the real meaning of Christmas. The Monday after Thanksgiving, Bev noticed that Mary wasn't at her usual post, in the middle of the sofa on the west wall. Bev tried to reach her at home several times, but got no answer. Finally, about 2:30 that afternoon,
hello, Dr. Will Phillips' office. I'm sorry, but he's with a patient right now. Could I have him re- return your call? Well, Merry Christmas to you, too. What? Oh, you're calling regarding a patient named Merry Christmas. Is she all right? I see. Yes, of course. Just a minute. Dr. Phillips, line two, please. Dr. Phillips, line two.
Will you check on that patient, please? Dr. Phillips?
Will, are you there?
Mary, we've been trying to get in contact with you all morning. What's happened to you?
Now don't get all riled up. I'm all right. I'm at the hospital doing fine. It's just this old body of mine sent word to me today. It was time to bring my Christmas story here for a while. I didn't want to bother you, so I took a cab. But this lady here at the desk, she won't give me a room without authorization from a certified MD. You are certified, aren't you, Will?
just let me talk to the lady.
Will, if it's not too much trouble, would you ask this nice lady to give me a room with two beds?
Now, I'm sure that can be arranged.
Will, would you ask her to please keep sending me roommates so that they can hear the Christmas story?
Mary, if you'll let me talk to the lady, I'll be glad to.
Oh, and I almost forgot. You tell Bev I'm assigning that couch on the west wall to her. You tell her God's moving me on to new territory.
Now, Mary, I don't want you to worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of everything. The real question is, how are you feeling?
Well, I think I'm getting closer to home. Praise the Lord, I'm getting closer to home.
the 8th floor of Memorial Hospital had never experienced anything quite like Merry Christmas. Handel's Messiah played constantly on her little CD player. Nearly every week, a new patient would be moved into room 824. And nearly always, they left rejoicing, having experienced the true meaning of Christmas. When things would get a little slow on the floor, the nurses would all gravitate toward Mary's room. That is, all of them but one. Phyllis Cross, the head nurse on the evening shift, kept her distance from the woman she called the religious nut in 824. Phyllis had been head nurse in a military unit for 11 years, head nurse in the emergency room for 16 years, and had been through 3 marriages. She never smiled or cried, and the icy look in her eyes seemed to broadcast that she was proud of it. It was Monday night in mid-December when Mary took a turn for the worse. An infection set in, and her temperature skyrocketed. Round-the-clock care was ordered, and being 2 nurses short, Phyllis Cross herself had to help out in room 824. Mary was in great pain and nearly delirious from the fever.
Time for pills, ma'am.
Hey, Phyllis, I'm glad you've come. I've been praying for you.
Praying for me? You don't even know me.
But I feel as if I have to. But it's other nurses have told me all about you. They look up to you, you know.
They do they? Well, in case they didn't tell you, there's no use praying for me. God gave up on me a long time ago.
Hasn't, Phyllis. In fact, I've asked him not to take me home till you're in the fold.
I hate to break the news to you, kid. You're in for a really big disappointment. What is that music?
That's the Hallelujah Chorus. I'm going to sing that song when you get saved.
Yeah, won't that be the day?
Oh, Phyllis, I love you, and God loves you even more.
Yeah, well, you've never done a thing for me.
But he wants to, if you'll let him. Something that'll change your life forever.
I've got to go check on the patient next door. I'm going to send another nurse to come and check on you.
Phyllis, I'll be praying for you.
I wish you'd stop that nonsense. You need your rest, and I have to go.
The whole situation was more than Phyllis could bear. Here was a dying old woman praying for her. Phyllis had expected Mary to toss out her Christmas question, but it never came. It was as if Mary sensed the time just wasn't right. As Christmas drew closer, it was obvious that something miraculous was happening on that 8th floor. As the beautiful melodies of Handel's Messiah drifted up and down the halls, a steady stream of visitors flowed in and out of Mary's room. Many of them reminisced about that day on the couch in Dr. Will's waiting room. Since Mary's arrival in the hospital, most of the staff on the 8th floor had started greeting each other by saying, "Merry Christmas." And it wasn't just because of the season. 4 of Phyllis's nurses were totally different people as a result of spending time with this unusual woman they referred to as their spiritual mother. And Phyllis had watched patient after patient assigned to the second bed in Mary's room leave the hospital joyfully transformed. There was something contagious about the joy of this frail little woman in room 824. It was the joy of Christmas.
Joy.
Phyllis went to work as usual on the evening of December 24th. All through the night, she tried not to think about Mary. But by the time her shift ended, she could contain herself no longer. She found herself strangely drawn to room 824. As she walked in, streams of sunlight flooded Mary's room, heightening the beauty of all the flowers and plants. But the brightest light was in Mary's eyes. Oh, the pain was still there, but the fragrance of victory made the pain seem almost insignificant.
Good morning, Phyllis. I've been expecting you.
You were?
Yes, I've been up all night praying you'd come.
Up all night? My nurse should have given you a sleep until you need your rest.
Oh, don't be fretting about me. I'll have plenty of time to rest. Now tell me, what brings you to
visit a wrinkled-up old friend like me? Just wondering, how can you never ask me about Christmas?
Because I've been waiting for you to ask me. And Phyllis, now you have. Phyllis, do you believe in Christmas?
I guess I don't. I mean, not the way that you do. I always bought the kids presents and took them to the mall to see Santa Claus.
Oh, you celebrated Christmas. But have you ever experienced Christmas?
What do you mean?
Here, read this. Start with verse 9.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels.
Now that's talking about the first Christmas, when Jesus was born in a manger.
Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
And that's talking about his death on the cross. Read on, Phyllis.
Crowned with glory and honor.
Yes, he won the victory over death, and he's back in heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father. Oh, I can't wait to see him, Phyllis. I'm going to sing the Hallelujah chorus for him. Read on, child, read on. This is the best part.
That he, by the grace of God, should take death for every man?
Don't you see, Phyllis? Jesus tasted death for you. He died for you. Right now, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Can't you hear him? He wants your heart to become his manger.
He wants to live inside me?
That's it, exactly. Dear Lord, I've got a young lady here hearing that you're knocking on the door of her heart. Thank you for bringing her to visit me this morning.
Now help her, Lord. Go ahead, Phyllis. Just talk to him.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I don't really know how to do this. I don't know what to say to you. I've made such a mess out of my life. I've just done so many things wrong, Lord. Lord, please, please come into my life. Please, please save me.
Amen. Phyllis, do you know what day this is?
It's Christmas.
It sure is, dear. Merry Christmas, Phyllis. Merry Christmas.
For the first time in years, tears were rolling down Phyllis's cheeks. After Phyllis gently hugged the frail little woman who is now her spiritual mother, she joyfully ran from room 824, a new person. For the first time in her life, she could really celebrate Christmas. Late that evening, when Phyllis returned for the night shift, the rest of the staff could not believe their eyes. She practically skipped out of the elevator carrying a poinsettia and greeted everyone with an exuberant Merry Christmas. Her smile was so big that the other nurses hardly recognized her. Phyllis headed straight for room 824. As she walked in, she heard the Messiah playing softly on Mary's CD player. Seeing that Mary was asleep, she quietly put the poinsettia on the tray beside her bed. As usual, there was an open Bible in Mary's lap and a beautiful smile on her face. Phyllis reached down and took Mary's hand and squeezed it. Only then did she realize that Mary was home at last, home for Christmas. Phyllis looked down and started to speak to Mary's lifeless body. But at that moment, the Hallelujah chorus began to play on Mary's little CD player. Suddenly, Phyllis looked straight up and called out at the top of her voice,
"Sing, Mary, sing Hallelujah."
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
Said something in his prayer tonight that I think is the real danger of coming to a service like this. He asked the Lord that we would not look on this as entertainment, that's the danger. To look on this as a program. It's something to entertain us, and we come and we watch it, and we appreciate it, and we leave unchanged. What you've seen tonight is a sermon. A sermon in song, a sermon in word, a sermon of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the verses that strikes me from Luke chapter 2, a portion of scripture that many of us could probably quote the greater part of. But the first message that the angels gave to the shepherds, they told them to fear not, that they were bringing them good tidings of great joy. And they said this to them in verse 11, the first message, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, not a baby, but a Savior. A Savior. And if a Savior is born, then that must be our need. We must need to be saved. Saved from our sin. We're born into this world without Lord. We're lost. We're without hope. We're without God in the world. And one day, God sent a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago on Calvary, the fire sign, love and sorrow met. Love. For God so loved the world. The sorrow that He gave His only begotten Son, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, someone whom the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The message of Christmas is the message of salvation. It's the message of the cross. That all who will turn to God from their sin, all who will repent and turn to Him in faith, can have eternal life. He will become your Savior. That's why I came into the world. I hope that you know it tonight. If you don't, salvation is very simple. It's as simple as what we saw here. To ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save anywhere. to give you the gift of eternal life. If we can do that right now, if we know Him tonight, then the message of Christmas needs to be in our hearts and in our minds and on our lips every day of the year. Time is growing short. The Lord is going to return very soon. What we're going to do for Him, we're going to have to do while it's still day. The night is approaching, and our work will be done, and we'll stand before Him. I hope you know Him tonight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the message that we've heard tonight. The message in song, the message in word. We thank You for Brother Denny and the choir and for all these who have had a part in presenting this message. We thank You for their ministry and for the work that they put into this program tonight. Not to entertain us, but to preach a message. And that message is of the love of God. The Savior who came into the world, the Savior of sinners, the Savior who went to the cross of Calvary and was made sin for us, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Him tonight. We pray that You would part us with Your blessing. We pray that You would press the things that we have seen